Impact of Influence, The Murdoch Family Murders. This is the unfolding story of a powerful South Carolina family, the mysterious deaths they are linked to, and our quest to bring you the truth. Hello, friend. Always grateful that you're here with us. I am Matt Harris, Seton Tucker seated across from me, and you can always reach out to us on the Murdoch Podcast Facebook page, mattharrispodcast@gmail.com, and we are joined by our legal analyst, former DA and former defense attorney. He is John Snyder. Hello, John.
Hello there, fellow parents of old children.
Yeah, you're right about that. So, Seton, kick it off here.
First, I want to point out that John called it right. I think two episodes ago, we talked about Alec Murdoch's attorneys requesting additional funds out of his 401k for attorney's fees, and you thought that those would probably be denied to go towards an appeal, and it looks like that's what the judge said.
So...
yeah, I think the judge absolutely, you know, got it right. Obviously, he knows a lot more than I do. Like, okay, buddy, you're in prison. It's not like, and you have creditors out the wazoo. Your outlay is greater than your income. So that's what you would get a court-appointed lawyer for.
Right.
In our last episode, we talked about Alec Murdoch saying in court documents that he lied about Gloria Satterfield telling him that the dogs tripped her up. Since then, we've had a motion filed by Alec's defense team seeking to abandon the confession of judgment that he signed in the Satterfield case. And this has caused quite a stir.
To say the least.
Yes.
This has caused a lot of tweets and craziness on social media.
Absolutely. And if you recall, Alec Murdoch signed this confession of judgment saying that he owed the Satterfield family $4.3 million. And Eric Bland was successful in settling with other parties for over $7.5 million. So it appears as if in this motion, the defense is asserting misconduct by Eric Bland. And Bland and Richter have responded in a press release and also in comments on Twitter. And we'll get to those later. But first, let's dive into the motion.
The motion says, and I quote, "Mr. Murdoch makes this motion to correct the record in this matter, which he is obligated to do, and so that those victims might receive restitution according to their rightful share." Is that the reason for filing this motion? What is the end game here? What is this motion set to do?
So I kind of set the table for everybody a little bit. So a confession of judgment is what a potential defendant, or not potential, what a defendant gives against potential claims, where he or she says, okay, you've sued me, I owe you money, I confess that I owe you, you know, $4.3 million. And you have a lawyer that draws that up, the other side accepts it, and then the judgment is recorded. This recording a judgment makes the person who is owed the money secured, so that when they estate gets liquidated or you go to levy to collect, there's property from which you can collect.
And it puts you higher up on the list of
the food
people
chain
get paid back.
Of payments.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the last person that's ever going to get paid is the guy that, you know, loaned Alec money for lunch one time.
Yeah.
The first people that'll get paid are, the tax man, the whatever the judgment was for cost of court and all that.
Let's say there was a mortgage or something like that. Yeah.
That's right. All those people get paid way before. So that's what this is. That's what's been placed. This motion is asking for that confession of judgment to be removed. And it gives kind of two major reasons why. And the one is that the judgment was void, that there's plain error on the judgment as it is written, and therefore it can't be enforced. And this other misconduct claim. Okay. So of Bland's public statement.
Well, let's deal with the Eric Bland stuff in this motion in a bit. But let's talk a bit about the idea of this confession of judgment. Now, in some cases, confession of judgment puts you at the front of the line because you become a secured creditor. And other times, apparently, according to this tweet from Eric Bland, you say, I don't want to jump to the front of the line. Let me explain. He tweeted that we agreed not to jump to the head of the line with our judgment and wait until the very end and apply to the court like all other victims will have to do. Isn't it interesting that Alec gave Johnny Parker and his brother confessions of judgment so that they could jump to the front of the line and they don't have the same restrictions on their judgment that we do about not being able to execute on it at this time? So, because there was, he's tweeting that because people thought he was upset about the confession of judgment being removed because then his people wouldn't be in the front of the line, but he's saying we never were.
Right, and I think what he was saying, we've already recovered over $7.5 million for our clients, so we're going to let some of these other victims get in line with
everybody. Yeah, we'll just get in line with them.
Yes.
And the other argument about why it should be thrown out involves the fact that Alec was committing fraud. Explain that real quickly.
So they're arguing we committed fraud in the procurement of our settlement with Nautilus. Therefore, because we committed fraud, we can't actually confess judgment for owing the money that we actually paid.
Because we got ill-gotten gains or whatever. We got
ill-gotten gains. Therefore, we shouldn't have confessed to judgment because there was a factual lie.
It wasn't our money. It wasn't our money to confess to. That's what they're saying.
Correct.
And there's a whole bunch of other reasons that they want it thrown out from a technical aspect, clerical errors, et cetera, et cetera. We won't go knee deep in that.
Well, in the motion, Griffin and Harpootland say that they want to correct the record and that they feel obligated to do so and that other victims should receive their rightful share. So I read this as they're saying they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart. John, what do you think?
They are saying that they're ensconcing themselves in some nobility of, well, we want to make sure, you know, the Satterfields got paid by all these other people. We therefore want to make sure the other people that we have screwed over get paid their money.
But to point out, the other people that got screwed over are also his brother and his law partner. So is it possible that they jumped the line?
They're still in line as a secured creditor. It shortens the line, which means there's less people to divvy up a pie with.
And I want to point to a tweet about the line that Eric Bland put out. And he said, we agreed not to jump to the head of the line with our judgment and wait until the very end and apply to the court like all other victims will have to do. Isn't it interesting, Bland tweets, that Alec gave Johnny Parker and his brother confessions of judgment so that they could jump to the front of the line and they don't have the same restrictions on their judgment that we do about not being able to execute on it at this time. So he's saying the whole, you know, jump to the front of the line thing, he did not have that on the confession of judgment. They were going to wait like everybody else. So he's basically saying, why even file this? Because it doesn't matter. We admit that we're going to wait with everybody else. Now let's move to the drama, the juicy stuff. The stuff that has caused social media to blow up and a fight behind or between Eric Bland and Richter and Griffin and Harpootlian.
Well, no, only Bland and Richter I don't even know if Richter said anything, but Bland has been all over Twitter, but it's been radio silent from Griffin and Harpootlian. They're not saying anything on social media.
Glad you cleared that up. They said a lot of things in this motion.
Yes.
But not on social media. Okay, cool. Let's talk about that. The motion in part reads, Mr. Bland has engaged in a concerted campaign of prejudicial and extrajudicial statements, as well as inflammatory rhetoric in the courtroom when Mr. Murdoch sought bail.
Yep, they talk about the plaintiff's counsel has recently taken to social media to express outrage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they talk about this situation about the symbolic amount of monopoly money, and referring to it as monopoly money, which I guess were communications between Jim Griffin and Eric Bland.
Right, and which was the Monopoly money thing was saying, well, it's not like real money at this point.
That's how I took it. Although on Twitter, Bland says, no, they still expect to recover the funds.
Yeah. And I'm going to get to Bland Richter's response. And as Seton and I noticed, there was some editing done from the first time it was released until the current one. It says, Alec Murdoch's May 16th motion is yet another frivolous court filing that Dick Harpootlian and Jim Griffin have filed in the multitude of civil and criminal actions on behalf of their client, who is a liar, a thief, and a twice-convicted murderer. Now, I think at one point they mentioned the filing was like...
toilet paper or something.
Toilet paper, yes. Griffin, yes. Yeah.
But they did edit that part out.
And then he goes on to say, first, shockingly, they reveal confidential settlement discussions in violation of South Carolina court rulings... or court rules in their filing.
Yeah, they say this filing is frivolous and factually wrong, and they refer to the defense team as sore losers and paper bullies.
Call Alec Murdoch a miscreant, and they go on to say that they believe it's personal.
Yeah, they say that they're upset because they were not successful in their bid to get $160,000 to aid in legal expenses for Murdoch's appeal for the murder charges.
Because remember that Bland appealed at that hearing where they were trying to get the money and saying they shouldn't get the money.
Yeah, no, he testified during the hearing.
Yes, he also says in his response that its ulterior motives are meant to harass and victimize the Satterfields again. John Snyder back in, and I want you to, how you feel about in this filing that Harpootlian and Griffin made, they talk about things that were said between Bland and Harpootlian during the settlement talks. How do you feel about that?
I disagree with what they're doing here in that the negotiations between lawyers in a settlement are meant to be private. They're not privileged, but there's a professional courtesy, you know, you might say, yeah, I know she's crazy, but she's my client, therefore. So you're not expecting to see a pleading later on that says,
right.
And Mr. Snyder says, I know she's crazy, you know, so on and so forth.
Well, that makes sense. You would not want your clients to know that you think they're crazy.
That's true. I'm crazy.
All right. So going back in, it appears in this motion that they're trying to say that Bland was worried about his clients having to cough back up the settlement funds because of the SLED investigation that they referenced and that SLED was not buying the dog story. Is this assertion a problem for Bland?
I see 0% of a problem for Bland in analysis. In reading this motion, there's a couple things to notice, or a couple things to consider. One, all parties were represented in the negotiation of procuring this confession of judgment, which means Alec's attorneys were as much a part of how this was written as Bland's legal team was. So basically, they're saying, oh, we allowed a judgment that was never going to be valid to be brought forth is really a sub-argument to say, oh, there's errors all throughout this judgment, but we signed it, we advised our client, we reviewed it, we advised our client to sign it, and maybe they said, hey, it's meaningless, sign whatever you want. I take issue with that because it's not like, even if he was suffering from an alleged, you know, addiction, there's no evidence to show that he was actually under the influence or unable to make decisions related to filing this confession of judgment. That's issue one. Issue two is on page 24 of their own motion, they go into a 3-page argument about maybe somehow this money will be clawed back. And they say themselves, additionally, The situation is, quote, unique and may be a question of first impression. So when a lawyer says those words, that means they are making it up. That means there's no basis in law, but maybe the law could be this if the following things all take place.
Well, I'm confused about what the motivation was in filing this motion. Were they upset that they didn't get the attorney's fees in the appeal, or that Bland has been so outspoken in the media? Will we ever know the motivation for this filing?
Bland is going to ask the judge to ask them, why did you file this motion? Do you have a good faith basis and a real reason to file this? This is my prediction.
Well, it seems like there was a deal going on.
Absolutely. In this filing, they talk about this scenario of what happened, that Bland reaches out to Alec's defense team and says, hey, you know, I need you to sign this confession of judgment. And in return, I am not going to argue against Alec getting bond from Judge Lee. And I think that was the second bond hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, it's kind of this, you do this, I do this.
Yep.
Are these kind of negotiations normal amongst lawyers?
Yeah. These are top tier lawyers. And, you know, they're some of the best lawyers in the country, and it's complex litigation. I mean, you're negotiating with, you know, gigantic insurance firms, or you're doing high-level criminal law, and you've got all these different facets to argue. So it's very normal to have these kind of negotiations.
Sure, you got to work out a deal, right? You got to make a deal.
It seemed on social media there was a lot of uproar that there were possibly some sort of backdoor deals happening.
That were inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read some of those articles. It's not collusion. It's not good old boyness. It's not home cooking. It's not any of those things. It's lawyers doing their job. The profession is meant to resolve issues and make people whole. And so is settling a claim through a relationship bad? No. Like, that's, you want to have good relationship with opposing counsel. And so when things get out of hand and it starts to become about the other lawyer, you're not being a minister of justice. You're on a personality trip, and that is unhealthy for the client, because the client pays.
I don't think these two are going to be golfing together anytime soon.
Yeah. I think they're basically PO'd that Bland, I don't think Bland kept his word. He said, hey, I'll do this confession judgment. You keep your yap shut. And Bland kept yapping. I think does that seem like what happened? Right?
It appeared to me as if that was an issue.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to personally set up federal charges for insurance fraud so that he can get out of
Murdoch, you mean? Yeah.
State prison. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, and sure, if he can ding a guy that sued him along the way, then why not?
We also had an article from Fitz News this week, and he questions whether they're trying to whittle away Bland's credibility in an effort to help them in the federal court financial crime case that's pending.
Right. Like, so if Bland has to take the stand, they might not use him if his credibility is damaged.
Yeah, and it's been reported that he would be one of their strongest witnesses. And also it could help Alec's buddies, Corey Fleming and Chad Westendorf, in their cases.
Sure.
Well, things are really getting heated between these attorneys. And in the press statement that Bland and Richter gave, they referred to Dick Harpootlian and Jim Griffin as paper bullies. What are your thoughts on that?
The paper bully thing, that is a common refrain of plaintiff's lawyers about defense lawyers, because, you know, the insurance companies will pay for the defense lawyers to basically file motions all the time, every way, to try to slow up or, you know, impede the process of the plaintiff's case and the plaintiff's bar opinion. That's just common kind. That is common plaintiff lawyer complaint about defense attorneys?
Well, I was speaking to an attorney this week, and defense attorneys are paid by billable hours, so that does make sense.
Now, I want to move to the fact that Eric Bland is on every network and podcast and
Twitter
constantly, but yeah, Twitter, lots of Twitter, tweeting, lots of tweeting. And he's involved in ongoing cases in the white collar crimes, etc. So is that unusual to see someone out there in the press and public so often when they're part of an ongoing case?
With cases that are ongoing where you are representing somebody, it is dangerous to comment because you can easily go from providing information to violating rules of professional conduct. So the better course of action is to not discuss in great detail outside of a courtroom your cases. In the courtroom, you go all in, you throw it all out there. So Bland's statements in court, I don't find those vicious. I don't find those improper. I don't find those like that's you're trying to make a point. And because the judge has this thing called a gavel, and if you say something you're not supposed to, there's not a judge out there that won't say, "All right, there, sir," or "All right, man, that's enough."
Now, Eric Bland says it on Twitter that Alec and his attorneys may be participating in a documentary. They used to be called Son of Sam Laws. I think that might have been appealed, but the idea of making money off of a murder situation, how is that law in South Carolina or in the land?
So Harpootlian and Griffin can make money however they want.
Okay.
Alec, I think, has already, so in some judgment somewhere along the way, has already foregone any right of payment from his side of the story, from a book he might write, mm-hmm. from anything. Yeah, basically, I believe, if memory serves me right, there's already a bar or a impediment from him recovering anything personally. Now, that doesn't mean the estate, you know, the receivership might be like, yeah, We'll take that money, please, because we have these creditors we need to pay.
Yeah, there could be money that could potentially go to victims.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, will people want to watch this documentary?
Of course they would.
I would.
They'll eat up anything Murdoch-related. And if you're talking about behind-the-scenes type of defense attorneying, I mean, some of it's privileged, but it'd be interesting, I think.
I think people always want to hear from somebody who is a criminal. I personally want to see it.
You mean like an interview with Alec you would watch, right?
I would watch an interview with Alec.
Oh, yeah. Well, they watch, if you've seen on Netflix, there's like all the interviews with Dahmer and Bundy and all that. They're all over the place.
I think true crime is a genre that people watch.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yes, thank
and
you.
Listen to.
Thank you. Well, John, let me ask you this question. On Twitter, Eric Bland mentioned wanting to depose Jim Griffin and Dick Harpootlian because they waived their privilege by filing this motion. Do you think that privilege was broken, and would it be likely that they would be deposed?
I don't. They didn't violate attorney-client privilege, but in a proceeding, if the misconduct accusation were to get legs, that would be the way that would happen.
So at that point, Harpootlian and Griffin are witnesses.
And maybe Eric Bland as well.
Oh, and Bland too, right. All right, John Snyder, thank you.
Thank you guys so much. This is some dense stuff, so any listener questions will be welcomed.
Very cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, Seton, what will we wrap with here?
Well, a few things. I neglected to mention the last episode that I had spoken to several different insurance adjusters in the area, and one comment stuck out to me. They said, rules don't matter in Orangeburg, Hampton, and Allendale counties.
Mm-hmm.
So venue is definitely an important consideration.
Sure. And Chad mentioned that a little bit in the last episode, too. Who knew that every county or region or whatever has whole kind of and it holds such an importance in when you're settling.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the renewed controversy, because it was talked about during the trial, on how much Arpoolian and Griffin and the whole team paid for their housing during the trial.
Yeah, they stayed at this wedding venue. I think the reported cost was $20,000 a week. I will say that you and I both stayed. I stayed only one night in Walterboro. I commuted back and forth from Charleston. And I am embarrassed to admit that I spent $400 a night for the Hampton Inn in Walterboro.
Yeah.
I think you stayed at a cheaper place.
Oh, I stayed at cheaper places, but you pay for what you get what you pay for.
Yeah, I don't really feel like that is a fair
criticism.
I mean, it obviously there's an advantage to staying at a private property where you have a bigger space that you could meet in private and in lieu of a hotel lobby.
But there's not like a million choices in the area.
No, there's not a lot of choices, and everything, obviously, if I paid $400 a night for the Hampton Inn in Walterboro, prices were jacked up.
They were. And I you know, there was all kinds of rumors about other people trying to get the same spot that Arpoolian and Griffin got.
No, I think that is true. I think the defense team or prosecution team tried to get that space, and the defense team
beat them to it.
You know, it was a good place to stay.
Yeah. And that puts a wrap on it. We are always grateful, always grateful. And if you have ideas for other cases, because we're still doing more in our Shanquella Robinson case, but you have thoughts, send it to us, mattharrispodcast@gmail.com or Murdoch Podcast Facebook page. And we'll talk soon, friend.